Good morning, everybody, and a happy new year to you. It's good to be back with you this morning as we start this new series for the new year and for Andy's new ministry here amongst us. The challenge of joy of change. That's the title of our series. And this week we're looking at the first bit of that, our changeless God. And the main theme of what I'm going to speak about this morning is a changeless God amid a changing circumstances. We live in a changing world, and that's probably the biggest understatement anyone can make. We all know that. We live in a period of, we might say, extreme change, and change that seems to pick up as the years go on. This new year, we're definitely entering into an international period of change, politically, economically, with the continuing war zones expanding rather than shrinking, as we all hope and pray. But in our daily lives, they will change. And most of us, I'm sure, don't like too much change. We like it. We make ourselves comfortable with how we are, how we're living, what we're doing. But in this technological age, pace marches on at a pace, and sometimes it's difficult for us to keep up with it. But one thing we can rely on, our God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are going to experience new change within our church community this year as we welcome Andy here as our new pastor. And with him comes a new family that we need to support. All these things can be unsettling, but I believe that if we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, then it makes it a bit easier to go through the changes that we will expect, even if we don't particularly want to go down that way. And there's one thing that we need to remember. When I talk this morning about God doesn't change, and I'm also talking about Jesus doesn't change and the Holy Spirit doesn't change. That's what's going on. When someone asks that simple question that oftentimes arises, who made God? There's just one straightforward answer. No one. Because the God who created us has always existed. He's eternal, he's unchanging, he doesn't age. His existence remains constant. He doesn't gain or lose powers. He doesn't mature, develop, grow old, grow stronger, become wiser. Arthur Pink, an old theologian, says he cannot change for the better. He can't learn anything new, for he's already perfect, and being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. Bit of history. Thomas Aquinas was a theologian of the 13th century, and he wrote a thesis on Summa Theologicum. Forgive my Latin lack of pronunciation. He was a priest, a friar, and he was the one who first coined the phrase divine intelligence and wrote this thesis about it. And he came up with the theory that God is immutable. referring to scripture in this thesis, he says, God is no mere human. He doesn't tell lies or change his mind, but God always keeps his promises. His faithfulness will remain the same despite what's going on in the world or in individual lives. That's his unchangeable, immutable character. One thing we need to remember, and I want to make clear at the start, because God doesn't change, doesn't imply that he's rigid in his thoughts or inactivity in his spirit, but rather he has that consistent nature within his character that makes him a rock for us to stand on. We're having a bit of a trouble again, so our changeless God we're looking at. So we're going to look at some of the major texts which I'm relying on to speak to us about our unchanging God. The writer of Hebrews is the major source of our theme today. He says, you remain the same and your years will never end. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. But we will also remember that the writer of Hebrews was also a person who knew his Old Testament well. And when he was writing to the people at the time, he reminded us that what he said came from the scriptures of old. They came from places like the Psalms. You remain the same and your years will never end. And I, the Lord, do not change, as he quoted the prophet Malachi. All these things tell us that the God we worship is a God of the Old and New Testament. He expands his thoughts in Hebrews 1, verse 10 and 12. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. You will not roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. What comforting words to know that we are known and can know a God that has a solid character. And no matter what's going on in the world or in our individual lives, his view and love of you cannot be shaken. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. I was very encouraged over Christmas. One of my things I always try to do, one of those things I don't like changing, is the fact I can look and get in on the carol service from the King's College, Cambridge. That Christmas, that's a Christmas tradition as far as I'm concerned, to look up. I was very encouraged to hear in the build-up to that service that the BBC pronounced that last year they calculated that 120 million people worldwide tuned into the BBC World Service to listen to that service. That's quite incredible that one service could spread so far out of the world, and it's built up over the years, and they're expecting even more people to tune into it this year. I think that's encouraging, that the world as a whole has places to tune in, to hear the words of Scripture and to join in the celebration of the Christian Christmas, despite all the manifestations of what goes for Christmas in our lives today. when there seems to be an emphasis more on the material aspects of giving gifts and going out shopping and partying and everything else. We need to remember that our God is changeless and we can rely on him. He's the one who's there for us when we need him. But surely you might say, surely God changes in some way. Surely God must change his plans from time to time, change his decisions in some ways. It's a question that often arises. But the answer to it is a simple no. God doesn't change his plans. He continues to act towards men and women in the same way he reacted to the people of Abraham's time, as he does to us today. The situation is that he blesses those who love him and seek to follow him in his ways. The Lord wants us to have a loving relationship with him and a fellowship with him that's close and personal. And we know, when we know him personally, then we will get that assurance that he is a person that never changes. The promise is he makes in Scripture, which are for us and for our time, will remain forever. Remember that when we surrender to Christ, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And that should be an ongoing process. And that sometimes does mean we need to change our thoughts and our ways and our actions if we don't want to repeat the sins that we all commit from time to time. Because part of being a repentant Christian, which I hope we are always seeking to do, especially into this new year, is that we need to change. It's not God that changes. It's us. We need to align with his thoughts and ways and words. As human beings, of course, we can't make perfect plans for life because we lack the foresight and knowledge, whereas God is both omnipotent and omnipotent and will never reverse his plans. Well, we might believe that we can find a few scriptures that tell us that God does change, but I don't think that is true. We need to first, of course, distinguish between conditional declarations of God and unconditional statements. When God declared, "I will not destroy Nineveh for 40 days," and then he didn't, there was a reason why. Because he had sent Jonah there, although he wasn't very happy going, to ask the people of Nineveh to repent from their sins. And Jonah did preach that message, and the people did repent. So there was no need for God to destroy that nation, because it was always part of his character that those who repent from their sins will be saved. So it's not that God is inconsistent, that he is consistent. He does and is willing to accept people's forgiveness for all the wrongs they do. And that will never change. It doesn't matter how bad the forgiveness has to be. It will always be so. I can always remember, strangely enough, Cliff Richard saying at a meeting I went to him where he was talking about his Christian faith, that the strange situation with our God is he would even have forgiven Hitler in those last days of the Second World War if he'd have got down on his knees and prayed and repented of all the sins. That's horrendous. But it just shows the depth and the breadth of how our God sees us human beings. God is consistent. He doesn't change his mind. But when he forgives people, like the people of Nineveh, it was always within his plans to accept their forgiveness. What about the story of the prodigal son? Let's just think of that for a while. We all remember that wonderful story told in Luke's Gospel, where the father in the story allowed his younger son to take his inheritance and walk off against the advice that would have been around. And so the son takes a large sum of cash and buzzes off and wastes it entirely and ends up absolutely destitute just a few months later. So desperate, he eats the food of pigs. He then returns in a repentant attitude and the father forgives him. In fact, he's expecting his son to come back and he's ready to restore. But it's the oldest son in the story that can't accept that Father God can forgive his brother. It's the older son who couldn't accept the fact that his brother was forgiven after creating such havoc within the family. And so this illustrates God's unchangeable heart towards us, always yearning for reconciliation and never wavering from his promise. And like John Packer says, nothing can alter the character of God. In the course of human life, tastes and outlook and temper may change radically. A kind, equitable person may turn bitter and crotchety. A person of goodwill may grow cynical and callous. But nothing of this sort happens to the Creator. He never becomes less truthful or merciful or just or good than he used to be. The character of God is today and always will be exactly what it was in biblical times. I want to talk a little bit about the immutability of God and the attributes of God. The Message translate our verse that we're looking at as Jesus doesn't change yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's always totally himself. And that is because one of his attributes is his immutability. You know, I like my definitions. They always come up on these type of slides. Immutability means that God is unchangeable and thus unchanging. This does not mean that he is immobile or inactive, but it does mean that he is never inconsistent or growing or developing. Immutability is considered one of the most important parts of the attributes, the character of God. If we look, and the definition of his unchangeability, here's one. God's natures, plans and actions do not change even though he is active and his relationships do not remain static. His moral consistency guarantees his commitment to unchanging principles. What are God's attributes? Well, here's a list of 10. There's more if you dig deeper. I just thought I'll let us have a look at this just for a while. I'm not going to major on this. In fact, I shall put some study notes out for the house group leaders if you want to study this in your house groups in the coming weeks. God's immutability and God's attributes. But it's knowing God's character that can give us the assurance that he's not going to change. He's always going to be there. His glory will never diminish. His immutability is impervious to change. His omnipotence is his almightiness. He has all power. His omnipresence means he is everywhere in space. His omniscience means that he's not ignorant of anything and cannot learn anything new. His self-existence points to his independence. He needs no other beings. His spirituality feels his nature is non-physical. God's unity is one that is unique and undivided in person. God's simplicity reveals that God is not made up of various parts, and his infinity is his quality of being unlimited by time or space. What a wonderful God we worship. Now, it's true that historians have debated if us human beings have got any capability of knowledge to be able to describe God's attributes or his nature or character, because we cannot truly comprehend him. Now, I do disagree with that statement, because I do believe we can know God's character. Because when we invite him into our heart, and if we open up our heart, he is able to reveal such deep things to us. Another John Packer quote: people sometimes say that they do not really mean simply because they do not know their own mind. Also because their views change, they frequently find that they can no longer stand to things that they said in the past. All of us sometimes have to recall our words because they have ceased to express what we think. Sometimes we have to eat our own words because hard facts refute them. The words of human beings are unstable things, but not the words of God. This is the wonder of our God. And we can rely, because he's a God of his covenant promises. As we look at all these things up on the screen, again, these statements that are made from beginning to the end of Scripture. Even the psalmist says, you remain the same and your years will never end. And the prophets say, I, the Lord, do not change, as they recall the words they speak of God. In Psalm 102, the statement that is made that your years will never end reinforces God's power throughout the complete history of our universe and the hope for a future generation. What's even more remarkable, that this writer of this psalm, who's struggling with his faith because of his own personal circumstances and not in a good place, still can conjure up some vivid dreams of God's creative power as he contrasts them with the frailty of his own life. He remembers God's eternal reign and pleads for God's people to hold on to the belief that God's compassion will lead to a time when all will bow down and worship him. And that's something we too have to hold on to today, despite what's happening in that outer world, in our lives or in the lives of others that tend to want to dent our faith. Like the psalmist, we need to hold on to the facts of Scripture, that God's eternal reign will lead to all those to bow down and worship him. The psalmist talks about restoration, suggesting that while he is suffering, he is positive that the situation in his life will change, and so will change for others. When we go on to Malachi, here's a prophet who's talking to people who are under God's judgment. This is that time in Israel's history when they're consistently avoiding worshipping Yahweh to worship the idols of the surrounding countries. And Malachi is emphasizing the contrast between excuse me. Malachi is emphasizing the contrast between an unchangeable God and the Israelite nation themselves. He's emphasizing that change because he's telling them that their consistent worship of idols is damaging their relationship with God, not only personally, but on the nation's scale. He emphasizes that God's still holding to his side of the covenant promise, unlike the people of Israel. The leaders of the Israelites during Malachi's life must have known the covenant statements, the stipulations that warned that if they disobeyed the covenant, then there would be consequences. But despite their knowledge of that, they consistently sought refuge with other nations and other gods. But of course, Malachi also wants to remind the people when he's preaching about the unchangeableness of God that if they turn back to him, then God will forgive them and will restore them. And in fact, we know that's what he did. It's a wonderful theme of grace in the prophecy of Malachi. But with that theme of grace came the need for great repentance. As I said, we mentioned if we look through the Old Testament, there are many references to the way that God's message of his unchangeability is relevant in the text. In Deuteronomy, therefore know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. In Job, God is unchangeable. Who can turn him back? In Psalm 33, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart after all generations. And with Daniel even, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Just some of the verses of the Old Testament that reinforce what the letter of the Hebrews says. John Stott says about the God of the covenant, the God of the Bible is the God of the covenant, the God of the promise, the God of steadfast love, the God who never changes his mind and never breaks his promises, even when we do. The fact that God made a covenant with Israel, the fact that he never changes in his faithfulness and his covenant did not mean that Israel could presume upon the grace of God or enjoy the fullness of his blessing, however badly they behaved. Reminds us very much that our God is the God of the covenant promises of all Scripture. Now, as we come and I'll wind this up, our changeless God in our changeless world. How true this is. we can rely that God is faithful in this changing world. God's relationship with us changes based on the choices that we make and has nothing to do with his character. God's relationship with us is based on the choices we individually make. And that's why we need to keep close counsel with God in order that we can know if we are keeping to the promises that we've taken on board individually for ourselves. If someone repents, God consistently forgives them. If someone refuses to repent, then God will judge them. He cannot one day be pleased to repent and the next day be angry with them. That would be totally against his character. Another quote from Packer. What God does in time, he planned for eternity. And all that he planned in eternity, he carries on in time. And all that he has in his word committed himself to do will infallibly be done. Thus we read of the immutability of his counsel to bring believers into full enjoyment of their promised inheritance, and of the immutable oath of which he confirmed this counsel. To Abraham and the archetypal believer, both for Abraham's own assurance and for ours too. So it is with all God's announced intentions. They do not change. No part of his eternal plan changes. The fact is, we often need to change our beliefs, minds, and attitudes to stay aligned to that of the Lord Jesus Christ's plans for us. We need to perhaps readily adapt to new understandings as we each individually learn of God's ways that affect our lives. And as I finish, I'd like to say that within my experience of Christian leadership and a long life behind me, we have called Andy to be our new pastor after much research, thought, debate, and prayer. And we believe at this time that God has led us to appoint him to this task. My plea to you as I finish this morning is to allow Andy to lead us and fulfill his own personal calling. God doesn't change what we've said in these last few weeks, and the reasons we do that mean that we're going to have to trust God in his unchangeability, to allow Andy to lead as he has been called to do. And remember that if we are faithful to that calling from God, then God will be with us in these coming months. Let's say these two verses together. You remain the same and your years will never end. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that we'll be able to take what's on board that comes directly from your word. And may we be a faithful people on a journey this year to walk closely with you through the steps of life. And may we be privileged enough to see your glory within us and within our church here in Wootton. Amen.